The Old Testament reading for today comes from Jeremiah chapter 11, beginning at the 18th verse. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But the Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among us? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made us to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace"? Therefore, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask. And they came to Capernaum, and he was in the house. He asked them, "What were you discussing on their way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message comes from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. The text for today's message goes something like this. Jesus found out that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been arrested and put in the jail by Herod. And the reason for this was that at Herod's birthday party, Herod's wife, Herodias, had her daughter dance for Herod the king. And this pleased him a great deal. And he said to her, "Girl, ask what you want, and I'll give it to you up to half of my kingdom." And so she conferred with her mother and came back and said, "I'd like the head of John the Baptist." So they brought the head of John the Baptist to her, and she gave it to her mother. Sorry about that. I added Mark to John 6, 1 to 28, and it wasn't there. Need a drink. One of the great novels of all times is a book called Crime and Punishment. The essence of the book is this young Russian peasant goes to the city of Leningrad to be a student, but he's so poor that he's having troubles paying his rent and food. And nearby lives a pawnbroker and her daughter, so he decides to rob them. In the process of robbing them, he ends up killing them both. He's got some money, but now he's got the death of two people on his hands. And as the book progresses, he's convinced more and more that the police are on to him. He sees a police officer standing on the street corner. That officer must be watching him, must be following him. If there's too many people gathered in an area in his apartment building, he's convinced that they know he did it, and they're talking about the crime. And it finally drives him to the point where, after a couple of years of this, he turns himself into the police. The police had no idea who he was. They weren't even looking for him anymore. They'd given up. They figured it was a cold case. There were other ones to worry about. But it's called Crime and Punishment. The full title of the book Dostoevsky wanted was Crime, Punishment, and Redemption. Because in the end of the book, the man goes off to jail, and that's where he finds his Savior and has redemption. Previously, we'd seen Jesus' disciples casting out demons, healing the sick, preaching, and all of this has finally gotten Herod's attention. Herod realizes there's this preacher who's getting large crowds together, and Herod asks the question, who is Jesus? Jesus asks the same question of his disciples, who do people say that I am? And the answer was, well, some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. Well, could he have been John the Baptist raised from the dead? After all, Jesus and John were cousins, so they probably look quite similar, only 2 years apart. According to chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus doesn't begin his ministry until after John is beheaded. But Jesus obviously cannot be John the Baptist resurrected from the dead, because they were both preaching at the same time. But this is what some of the people thought. They weren't being too logical on this one at all. Now, the public knows that John's dead. They may not have all the details about it. But the rising from the dead, where did that one come from? Then he had to be a prophet that was raised from the dead. At this time in Judaism, from about the year 200 BC to about 100 AD, there's a lot of literature called apocalyptic literature. Think Book of Revelation kind of stuff. This was very popular in Judaism at the time. And one of the common themes was that when the Messiah came, there would be a resurrection from the dead. So if Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected, who was coming? The Messiah was coming. There's one reason they may have thought that Jesus was John the Baptist raised from the dead. They had different ideas, all these different apocalyptic literatures, but they agreed on one thing. When the Messiah came, it would be preceded by great power and would be preceded by great miracles. When the resurrection came, the Messiah was there. Now, Jesus does not have to fulfill all that stuff in that apocalyptic literature. All right? That's not the Apocrypha you have in some of your Bibles. He doesn't have to fulfill that stuff because it's not inspired by God. But you notice there are some similarities between what Jesus did and what this literature talked about. As far as being Elijah, well, part of it was from Malachi chapter 5, see, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Elijah would return. Then the Messiah would follow afterwards. Think of the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus has his clothes transformed into his glory. And who appears? Elijah and Moses. John the Baptist would fulfill the role of what Elijah did, but Elijah did appear before the Messiah came down from the mountain. Then someone said, well, he's one of the old prophets come back to life, or maybe he's a new one. King Herod's not expecting the Messiah. He's like the character in the book Crime and Punishment. He's feeling his guilt at this point because he's assured it's John the Baptist come back from the dead. A little bit about information about good old King Herod. He was the tetrarch of Galilee and Perea. Since Jesus is from Galilee, he falls underneath the authority of Herod. Since John the Baptist did his ministry along the Jordan River, which was part of Perea, then therefore he fell underneath the jurisdiction of King Herod. A tetrarch is basically a governor with kingly powers. He's still under the authority of Rome, but think of a governor, so he's got some restrictions, but he also has some kingly power. Oh, by the way, good old King Herod finally lost his throne when he wanted the title king and get rid of the title tetrarch. His ego finally got the best of him and said, if I'm acting like a king, I should be addressed as a king. Herod, by the way, would rule for 43 years. So Herod was no fool. His father was a great builder who built the temple, but Herod was not a fool. He was also not as brutal as his brother Archelaus. Now, we got all, by the way, the Bible's full of confusions with Herod because it's a popular name for this family. Let's see, you have Herod Archelaus, Herod Antipas, Herod Philip, Herod Agrippa, and so on. And then, if that's not bad enough, then they name their women Herodias. Don't you think you guys should come up with a new name in the hospital? You know, there's whole name books. I'm sure they had them back then. All right? Now, what happened to good old King Herod is he fell in love with a woman. Well, that's nice. Problem was she was married to his half-brother, Philip. Which, by the way, Herod had, I think it was 30 half-brothers and sisters. Because his father, Herod the Great, had 10 wives. I think we should have a moment of silence for pity for the poor man. I can't even keep one happy. How do you keep 10 happy? Anyway, I better go on before I get something thrown at me. But Herod got his wish. He got to marry her anyway. And it caused a bit of a scandal in Jerusalem until this really loudmouth preacher came along, put his finger in old Herod's face and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herod had him then arrested. The official reason given, all right, the official reason was that John the Baptist was about to lead an insurrection in Israel. The unofficial reason is he didn't want him going around and keep talking about he and his wife, that it wasn't lawful. Now, Herod, we know, liked to listen to John. He enjoyed listening to John, hearing the message of repentance. But it never seems to really get into the heart. And I'll talk about that a bit later. While King Herod is enjoying listening to John the Baptist, his wife, Herodias, is spending her time plotting the death of John. And then there's the birthday party. It's Herod's party. I mean, this would be a big deal. And Herodias has her daughter dance for the king. And then, probably because he was pretty liquored up, he said to her, up to half my kingdom I will give you. Foolish, foolish boy. Because if he doesn't fulfill this, he loses a lot of face. He loses a lot of respect. So he's just made a promise, up to half my kingdom. I'm guessing he was assuming she'd want a resort on the ocean or a resort on the Sea of Galilee, something like that. He was not expecting her to ask for the head of John the Baptist. Herodias is just a wicked woman. It's the only way to describe her. Plotting murder. She just had a murderous heart. Herod kills because he's a coward. He's not willing to stand up to the crowd and say, no, I'm not going to do this. He knows John is a righteous and holy man. But like I said, he doesn't want to lose face before his guests. He would rather murder somebody than lose face. Well, we know John the Baptist is, well, I can't go through it all, but he was a humble man, a holy and righteous man. But John also knew his place. He knew his role in the kingdom. From John chapter 3, to this John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. John came to prepare the way of the Savior. Saying to John the Baptist, we think it's an awful, terrible way to end life. But from a human perspective, we really should look at it this way. John might have lived another 30, 40 years. What's that in terms of relationship to eternity? John got eternity 30 years before he might have, quote, if none of this had happened. John went on to tell his disciples, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Yeah, John did die a bad death. Everybody wants what we call a good death. Good and bad death seems to be measured by the amount of pain. But when redemption is involved, all deaths are good. Because we pass from this life to life in heaven. Now, many are like Herod. They like to hear John's words. They like to hear the scripture preached. They like the church services. They like the music. They like the people. But they can't let go of their secret sins that they hold. Those sins that are done out of habit more than anything else. They'll associate with the gospel, but they're not committed to the gospel. Well, can you change yourself and make yourself a better person? Maybe. But the odds are against you. Can you change and become good enough for God to accept you? Yes, no, maybe so? No. No, it's impossible. Where's your hope then? I hope the answer would be in Christ. And that we could say along with St. Paul, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ has already done the work for our acceptance. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to make the necessary changes within us. He takes us from being Herod, where the message hits the heart but doesn't get in, to being a believer in Christ. Call upon Christ and you will be saved. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting.